Everything else can wait. Give me your heart. I hope I'm not too late.
You may be seated. God bless you. By the help of the Holy Ghost, we commenced the journey on Sunday, and we were exploring something that we tagged "Enlighten My Darkness." We began to consider the truths as it's captured in Scripture, that there are two protocols of darkness that is deployed to stop the agenda of God. First upon territories, and then upon the lives of individuals. And I established on Sunday that for territories, what was deployed is darkness. And that darkness, it will be registered as laws, as cultures, as predominant ways of behavior that will shape and will support iniquity in a way that will continue to make it impossible to live up to the expectations of God. I also said that for man, it is not just darkness, it is gross darkness. And that this gross darkness, the aim of the gross darkness is to hide and veil your ordination, to make sure that which is captured in the chronicles of God concerning you, to make sure all that is captured in the script of your ordination, as hallowed as it may be, as important as it may look, as magnificent as you may perceive your identity to be in the world of the spirit, that on account of this particular darkness called gross darkness that is deployed for people, it will hide your identity. So you can be alive, age can be counting, but the true identity you have with God in Zion will never find expression physically. That is the work of gross darkness. So I use Isaiah 60 verse 2 as my anchor scripture. It says, "Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." It says, "Gross darkness shall cover the people." So while darkness comes for the earth as territories, gross darkness came for people. And for people, it is to veil their pre-incarnated identities. So that just in case, as we read in Jeremiah 1:5, it says, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet." Now, this thing God has made you, before you were formed, you are already a prophet. But how can a prophet enter time? It is the work of gross darkness to stop that manifestation of a prophet. So, you can be born as a child. Gross darkness will not affect your version as a child. You can even start living your life trying to find expression in one gift or another. But that particular script ordained for you before time began, it is the labor of this thing called gross darkness to make sure your life will never resonate with any eternal cord, so that you can live long, but you will not be able to fulfill the will of He that sent you. In John chapter 1 verse 6, the Bible says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Verse 7, it says, "The same man came." The same came. So the person who was sent, exactly how they sent him, is the same person that manifested. I began to show us that for many people, the person who is sent versus the person who showed up are two different people. Because gross darkness continues to buffet men and then make that our manifestation does not in any way tally with our identities in Zion. I also began to show us on Sunday that there are territorial protocols of captivity wired into specific spaces. I gave you some illustrations. I was trying to show us, you know, some of the ways your spiritual energy can shift
on account of regions you walked into. I was showing us there are places you enter and a strange sense, a strange awareness, a strange feedback will enter your soul that you are not doing well and that you've not been prospering and that you need to labor more to accrue wealth. You need to give more time to gather more wealth. It is mammon that is fraternizing with your soul. It will start like a dissatisfaction. It will start like a pressure on your soul. If you enter spaces, you will be able to tell when the energy shifts. And then there are places you go to, there will be a literal lust for immorality. It's lodged in the atmosphere. It's palpable. And so it is important that we understand the difference between the battles that rage territorially versus the battles that are raging within us. And so I made reference to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. I was showing us that the Bible speaking in Proverbs 20:27, he was showing us that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. I was showing us that concerning this matter that is called gross darkness that comes upon man, there is only one way it is actually dispelled, is that every darkness that seeks to bind your manifestation, to veil your identity, there is a light that is actually going to be ignited upon your spirit that will be responsible for dispelling the particular darkness that seeks to master your soul. And I began to show us in Psalm 18, verse 28. It says, "For thou will light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." And so I showed us that this darkness that is being made reference to in Psalm 18, verse 28, is not our darkness. It's not the darkness. It's my darkness. So it is the particular darkness that is uniquely wired to veil your manifestation, to hide your identity. There is a particular encounter that dispenses that darkness, and it is God lighting your candle. I showed us in Proverbs 20:27. It says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord." Now, in Psalm 18, verse 28, it says, "Thou will light my candle." So, if English means anything, the interpretation of these two scriptures is that if you are going to illuminate my darkness, you will set my spirit on fire. Because the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And if the Bible says you will light my candle, it means you will set my spirit on fire. And the reason for this encounter, because the Bible speaking in Psalm 18 verse 28, it says, "Thou will light my candle." It says, "The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." So everything that veils manifestation, and I began to show us that gross darkness, it operates through historical overview over families. So you can come from a place where darkness has gotten unhindered expression for years. Your dad was a man given to anger. Your mom was a woman given to vanity. There are chances that the powers that have found expression upon those bloodlines unhindered, when children are born, they will also seek to establish government. And so if you are not careful, the first warfare you will have to start fighting are the particular areas, the unique areas of compromise that the people before you have accommodated. And that is now your darkness. That darkness hopes to master your soul. That darkness hopes to also produce the same outcome that regulated the lives of the people before you. And so you will begin to see that you will find out that you too, for some reasons, you get easily offended. You are very angry at the slightest provocation. Something just happens and you become so angry you flare up until you have scattered and destroyed things. You will not come back to your senses. You will ruin relationships that can bless you in just momentary expression of anger. What you are dealing with there is your darkness. It passes from one generation to another. Satan continues to establish this to make sure the people who carry the torch of God will never be able to live up to their expectation, because there is a darkness that is lodged waiting for men. There is another darkness that shapes territory and bets predominant ways of iniquity. I began to show us on Sunday that our initiative and our desire is to labor out of this darkness that is for men. Any attempt to combat darkness that covers the earth, and you have not dealt with the darkness that covers the people, you will be a hypocrite. Because in the secret, you will be a can of worms. You will be red-laden in corruption. You will be a captive, but openly, your life will be like you are challenging the protocol of darkness. Meanwhile, in secret, you are a captive. You are a slave to the things that have bounded your soul. I also showed us that the gross darkness that is deployed to cover the people, its mission is to make sure that inside you are appetites, yearning, desires that continues to antagonize the demands of God. And if you are not able to overcome it, your whole life will be spent in captivity. This is what we were able to explore on Sunday, and we went a bit beyond that. For the sake of time, I will only keep to this areas, the recap we can do. Today, I want to share a few things with us to corroborate what God has brought to us on Sunday. And the things I want to share with us, I target fire extinguishers. Fire extinguishers.
Oh, Jesus, set our altars on fire. Let eternal flames burn upon these altars. Flames that will keep us perpetually hungry, yearning for you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Please, give me your rapt attention if you can. I just need your attention. When I was talking about fire, I know that our minds will conceive all kinds of understanding because we are limited in our scope of understanding. When God speaks, we try to understand it from the lens of the metaphors He uses. Fire, in the context of spirit communication, has nothing to do with hotness. Fire, in the context of spiritual communication, has nothing to do with burning per se. The idea of fire is about intensity, is about zeal, is about desire. When the Bible says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled," Matthew 5, verse 6. When it says, "Blessed are those who hunger," that thing you are calling hunger there is burning, is desire, is yearning, is a desperate seeking for something. The reason why in our mortal expression we yearn for the things we yearn for is because we are hungry for them. So you wake up in the morning, the reason why you actually ate breakfast or lunch or dinner is because you were hungry for it. Now, if you didn't have any appetite for food, you will find out that you have no desire for food. It's hunger that beats appetite. Appetite and hunger, they go hand in hand. And you can never have appetite for anything you are not hungry for. Naturally, man does not desire God. In our fallen state, we do not desire God. God is not part of the things we seek for. And so there must be an encounter that ignites our spirit with a yearning, a desire, a burning passion for a need to fellowship, number one. Number two, a need to know more of God. Without that encounter and without that desire on our inside, all of our quest to know God, to fellowship with Him, it will be mechanical. You will find out that you do not have it in yourself to truly seek God. You will try. Have you tried by yourself before? You just woke up one day and say, "Today, I will pray." Then you started in the energy of the flesh. You were praying very loud for the first 20 minutes. After 30 minutes, the volume of the prayer began to go down, to show you that the energy of the flesh, it cannot last in this journey.
This journey was not designed to be prosecuted by the energy of the flesh. Oh, have you decided before that you are going to fast? And you made that decision in the flesh. Do you realize that on that day, food will have a special interest in your life? On a normal day where fasting was not captured into your schedule, you can be so busy you will forget to eat. And it will not shake anything. But the moment it was deliberately decided that the reason why we will not eat is because of fasting, you will realize that suddenly your body will enter into a mode of rebellion to communicate to you that it is not in partnership with this your decision to wait upon the Lord. Now, I am trying to share with you that we eat what we eat basically. Our hunger is actually inspired by our appetite, our desires. If you don't have a desire for God, you will not yearn for Him. And the yearning you have for God is because of something that is actually quickening appetite for Him. Now, our relationship with God is organic. It's living. It's alive. Every living thing has appetite. Are we together? There are over four expressions of life. There are four expressions of life. Number one is appetite. Since there is a life in the flesh, since there is a life in our fallen nature, that life has its own appetite. It has its own desires. And the basic desire of that life, most of the time, it will gravitate towards disobedience. It will yearn for things that violate the law of God. In fact, the flesh will naturally desire things that have controversies and violations of the law of God associated with it. I've seen people who escaped in their context the pressure for immorality by marrying. And they found out in no time that marriage is not an escape from immorality. Because the reason why you are fornicating, the reason why you are open to that immoral lifestyle, is not because there is no woman or there is no man. It is the pleasure of transgression that your soul desires. Have you too read that stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret have pleasures? This is why when you see a person who struggles with that for long, they now eventually got married and think that finally, in no time, their wife or their husband, it will become a boring arrangement for them because their whole life is built around secrecy. The only thing that can give them pleasure is abominations, transgressions. If it is not disobedience, it's not sweet for the flesh. The flesh only desires pleasure as long as this matter is a matter that violates the law of God. That is their appetite of the life of the flesh. Now, if you receive the life of God in salvation, that life also has appetite. And if you want to journey in God, it is to be discerning the appetite of that life. There is a time where that life will only be desiring fellowship. It just wants koinonia. It just wants fellowship with God. In such a moment, you will find out that you are drawn towards worship. If you raise a song, you will just feel an embrace of the Holy Ghost. A song that is normal, that people sing. You will sing it, you will start crying. It is what that life is hungry for at that time. His need is fellowship. His need is koinonia. It needs fellowship. And so, as we give ourselves more and more to the desires of life per time, you will realize that our journey with God is actually an unending exploration of pleasures and joy in the Holy Ghost. As we continue in this discourse, I wanted to show us five things that can extinguish that fire. And by fire, I mean that innate desire that you sustain for God. Your desires can be extinguished, or your fire can be extinguished by one or any of these five things. Number one, distractions. 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 Listen. Why do people come out from revival services so passionate? Sometimes you see people crying, and then the moment they leave the consciousness of that spiritual space and go and mingle again with their friends, interact with their neighbors, you begin to see that passion, that yearning, that feeling of zeal for God, that hunger they sustained inside that hallowed place of convergence. You find out that it has diffused out of their life. Then suddenly, you see the guy who was crying in front of the altar a few days ago. The same guy who came out and was not ashamed. His friends were mocking him, but he came out. And he said, "Lord Jesus, come into my life." You find him. He is now ashamed to associate himself as a Christian. You find him in few days' time. He is now among his friends. He too, he is trying to find a way to blend with them. What he has lost is fire. Is desire, is that burning passion that came upon his soul. Once upon a time, that passion was consuming him, and he was willing to damn all consequences. He was willing to part ways with even friendship. But the moment the fire died a bit, something else begins to come alive on his inside. Because the moment that desire, I repeat it again, Matthew 5 verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. He says there is a blessing for them. They will be filled. In the day of temptation, you will gravitate in the direction of where your desire is. What we are contending for is hunger, desire. Blessed are those whose hunger in this world, whose hunger in this life is for righteousness. That anytime you meet them, They are pulsating thoughts. What is keeping them restless is, how do I attain higher levels of purity? Higher measures of consecration? How do I stand in my garment undefiled? A quest for holiness. This your flesh, it cannot hunger for it. The hunger in your normal nature is for immorality, is for iniquity, is for the desires of the flesh, is for the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. This is the total appetite of your human nature. So, when you look at the life of the average Christian, it is a pattern of hotness and coldness. There are meetings that we enter, opportunities availed us by the Spirit to interact with certain atmospheres that ignite desires upon our heart, brings us into higher measures of consciousness, and on account of that consciousness, we develop a new hunger, a new yearning. But you see, we don't know how to sustain hunger, because that's another power in the Spirit, is the ability to sustain hunger, that you can actually hold on to your fire. Your fire can be maintained in its intensity, even if you entered in a midst of a corrupt people, in midst of a lukewarm people, that your fire was not extinguished. Now, there are protocols that have been set into motion to make sure that fires are extinguished. That you can see a brother burning in January. When you come back in April, he is a shadow of what he used to be. He is now cold. He is now laughing when he sees himself. The other day, somebody showed me a picture of a brother. He used to do, to show you how passionate he was, he used to do rural missions. He travels from village to village. That was his own mission field. Village to village. Now he's a Yahoo boy. Not just he's a Yahoo plus boy. Those types that added sacrifice to what they do. A man who abandoned civilization, went into rural areas, now He is a, the only thing you can actually explain is that his fire died. Do you know what the parable of the five foolish virgins was truly about? Huh? Do you think it's about oil? No, it's about fire. It's a, the oil is only the strength of the fire. The moment you don't have oil, your fire died. And the real thing the virgins were keeping is lamp. And the real purpose for a lamp is for illumination by fire. So the reason why they call them foolish is because they did not carry extra oil. This passion you think you have now, the moment house rent hit it, children's school fees hit it, your wife complained to you 3 times, your husband, hey, before you know it, you will look for fire. Are we together? I know you cannot advise a person who is in love. All your advice, he falls on deaf ears. You call him and say, but this lady you are talking to like this, are you sure you have done the due diligence to really check the background? Please check the background. You, after 5 minutes, you will call her and say, many people are trying to spoil what God is doing within us, but it will not prosper. He is helpless. That passion, that yearning, that hunger. See, I wanted to show us how passionless, how totally bereft of hunger we are as a generation. There's no hunger for God. There's no drive. If you want to understand what took men like Apostle Joseph, Ayo Babalola, to the mountain, is passion, is hunger. That type is not some, is not discipleship. He didn't read this in a book. There was something happening inside him that he could not explain, that religion of his time could not satisfy. So the thing separated him into a space. The thing isolated is passion. That passion, sometimes it will draw a line between you and your friends. You will realize that there is no quarrel, but you just cannot entertain their company anymore. It is a life of God on your inside that is now giving you its appetite, the things it likes. When it starts giving you its appetite and you follow that appetite, your journey in the spirit has started. Because it's supposed to be an organic expression. That life will tell you what it wants. The first fire extinguisher is distraction. Among all the extinguishers we can talk about, this one is the most detrimental. Distraction. Not even sin. Distraction. Distractions. When a man lives in sin, he knows obviously that he has violated the law of God. A distracted man does not even know he's distracted. He has no idea that Satan is gaining mileage on his life. He does not know that they have trapped his life in a routine, a repetitive pattern that does not have any way it adds to his destiny. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, the Bible says, the light of the body is the eyes. It says, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Meaning that if you can gather yourself into focusing, I know you have 2 eyes, but it says single your focus. If thine eye shall be single, it says your whole body will be full of light. Now, one of the biggest areas of labor the demonic order continues to give themselves to is to distract the average Christian, is to distract the average child of God, so that you will be preoccupied, you will be always engaged. Is it from the cell phones that is on your hands to the different desires in our hearts that is being explored? If you know how they manipulate us, you will understand the warfare we are fighting in its true form. There are times where you will not even know that Your heart is beginning to lust for validation. Your heart is beginning to lust for the accolades of men. Have you ever uploaded a picture and you went to check the number of like and comment on the picture before? Let's talk now. Have you ever been offended at the response one of your upload got? Have you tried to type something as you thought about the thing? In your mind, this is a wise quote. In your mind, anybody that read this thing, they will say, who thought about something like this? This is, when you now wrote it, nobody commented. Have you ever been disappointed because you didn't get feedback from men? It is that same thing. That same desire for accolade, for recognition, to be loved, to be appreciated, to be admired. Demons will explore these innate desires. And a time will come, your desire will not be for God. Your whole life will be trapped within this three-dimensional world. You will be looking for, feedback from men, accolades from men, commendations from men. And then this is why you will find the average Christian is distracted and he does not know. Even sitting here in the house of God, how many of us can confidently say that the totality of our being is represented here? If you know how distracted we are as a generation, 5 minutes is the span of the attention of the average man. 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, you have lost it. As I'm talking to you now like this, you are with me for only 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, something there, for some of you, is a simple thing. They'll just come like this and say, you should say you close your window. That question, they will carry you from the church like this. You will now. For some of you sitting here, they'll just say, what if rain fall? Or, are you sure you warm that stew? What if it's fall? You are gone. You are gone out of the house. It's too easy to remove you from anything that you are supposed to be present in. Meanwhile, seeing that distraction has this kind of grip over us as a generation, the princes are not only interested in distracting us, they want to create addictions around your distraction. Addictions. So that your distraction is now on an automated mode. They don't need to be the one telling you again. Many of you, you are addicted to setting apps on your phone. You are addicted to setting sites. You are addicted to setting activities. And if you are not careful, you will find out that there is little or nothing you will do with the time God has made available to you. And so if we want to be deliberate about fighting and winning the war against distraction, we will actually begin to gather ourselves deliberately. First, you start mechanically. Build to-do list into your day. For example, at the end of today, there must be clearly spelled out activities you want to achieve in your tomorrow. And when you start putting it out, be ticking them as you are achieving them. That is how you know that you have had a successful day. Any day that does not have a set of activities that has been itemized to be achieved, you have allowed that day to be open to any other thing. You will not even know what you have done with the day. Meanwhile, your life comes to you one day at a time. What you are calling the future, it comes to you. Your future comes only one day at a time. The future is not an endless span of time. The future is one day at a time. So, the future you are waiting for now is your tomorrow. That tomorrow, what have you built into it? What have you actually built into tomorrow that will help you keep and maximize your use of time? If you don't have to-do list, many spirits, they will explore that vast open channel of time that nothing has been put in within that span of time. Number two, fire extinguishers. If you are writing, please write liturgy. Liturgy is spelled L-E-T-H-A-R-G-Y. Liturgy means tiredness, weakness. We went to read one day
I think in my 300 level on campus, I and my friend, we were in the class. And so I got a bit tired. I bowed my head, you know, just to rest a bit. When I raised my head, I saw, how many of you have seen this soldier ant that move in colonies? And that they are straight line. You know, there are many. I saw things that look like soldier ants, but they are bigger. Many. They are around him like this. That, my friend. And they were moving very fast, like it was in a speed of light. I saw that any movement they do, his eye would turn to that direction. If they move, so he was just turning. That's all I saw. And then the vision just cleared from my eyes. When I started sharing with him that, see what I just saw, a lot of tiny looking creatures, and they were moving, and any direction they take, your attention goes there. He looked at me and said that he has had that encounter before, and that he has seen some activity of things around him, and the Holy Ghost told him that he is distracted. So the average distracted man, you are not distracted because you don't have what to do. You are distracted because there's an installation around you to make sure that your Kairos season, your Kairos moment, you will miss it. Encounters will be designed from the realm above you. You will not be able to be sensitive. You will come and pass spiritual exercises. You will not know. Because all other things will be catching your attention. Impulses will be bombarding your soul. You will not even be able to do the things that can prosper you. There are activities of elements, of entities in the spirit that keeps men preoccupied. You will know that you are not lazy. You will know that you are not lazy, but there is actually nothing you are doing. You will look at your life and you will know that it's not like you slept throughout the day. You knew you were busy. Actually, in the night you were tired. But you got tired doing nothing. You are under attack. This is one of the tools that registers fire extinguishers. You can carry so much passion. By the time they open you up to this attack, you will just find out that your intensity has started going down. Your fire has started to decline. After a while, the same you that was burning with zeal for God, you will become ashamed of the things you once professed. It's because an attack has been deployed around your life. Now, just in case you are here and you have observed that you know what you ought to do, but you cannot see yourself doing it. Huh? This is one of the tools the devourer uses. The thing this spirit eats is time. The Bible calls it different names in scripture. It calls him the caterpillar. It calls it cankerworm. It calls it the devourer. He says, I will restore the years that the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the caterpillar. So what these ones eat is time. They eat time out of people's lives. You will just realize that you woke up one day and you are 50. But it is by 50 you woke up. You just realize that what is happening? You are already 50. That one, the spirit just allow you to wake up briefly. They know you will soon sleep. The next time again you wake up, you are 70. This is how many people's life, they host you like a video game. You are just repeating the same cycle of distraction. They bind you with an addiction to your distraction. That distraction, they will build an addiction around it. Some of you, even this last night, you slept with your phone in your hand like this. It's a sign. The phone held you until you became unconscious. If we come and find you there, it means that you no longer have the power to say it's time to sleep. You stay one place. The phone held you until you died. And when you wake up in the morning, your first is, where's my phone? It will happen for 365 days. You have wasted 1 year again. The next year again, it will happen. They will bind your distraction to an addiction. I think we should pray for a minute. I don't know the area where Satan has occasioned distraction to make sure you are not conscious of the fervency and fire
you touched when you entered the holy altar. Somehow, the moment you leave the four walls of the church, your consciousness leaves the spirit. Your consciousness leaves spiritual things. Your consciousness is drawn towards worldly things. It's because you are distracted, my brother. Again and again, I cry, oh Lord, fix my gaze on you, Lord. Again, I cry, oh Lord. Again and I cry, oh Lord, fix my gaze on. Listen, I want to show you five fire extinguishers that have only made in even introducing one distraction. You don't know what distraction is. I have been begging God for utterance since I have been working like this. What I want to discuss with you, only utterance can deliver you. See, there is a very intimate connection between your sight and your thoughts and your confession. It's like a domino effect. Anything that can catch your sight suddenly will become your meditation, because your eye is the gate of your soul. If your eye can look at it long enough, it will enter your mind. The moment it enters your mind, it has entered your meditation. Since it has entered your mind, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will naturally start speaking. So Satan knows that the only place to labor is to catch your gaze on something. If we can catch your attention here, leave that attention on that. Don't tell him to do it. Just allow his eye to see. Job says, I made a covenant with my eye. He says, my eye does not have his freedom to wander as it might. I have guarded my sight with a covenant. He says, why shall I look upon a maiden? I made a covenant with my eye. He knows that, you see, this whole progression of distraction, it starts from what you give attention to. The moment your attention is captured, your thought is about to be dominated. Your thought is totally helplessly at the mercy of what captured your attention. So anything that captured your attention is already a thought flowing into your mind. Before you know it, your mouth will finally do the final work. He says, with your mouth, you are either condemned or you are justified. The power of life and death is what? In your tongue. All of these things happening, they are waiting for your mouth to speak a prophecy over your life. So you stay like this. The news is showing you people dying. The news is showing you government is failing. The news is showing you people in hardship. The news is showing you insecurity here. That thing you are looking at, that's why Smith Wigglesworth says he does not read the newspaper. He says the world will not penetrate his heart. He says we will make the news. I was reading about him. He said the world should not become breaking news and we Christians should read. He says we are the breaking news. They should read about us. Because as you continue to read about this negativity, all of these things not working in the country, your heart will take a posture. One day, unknowingly, you will find your own mouth too. Will say, what kind of country is this? The moment you say it, you too, you can never prosper in a country that you have released prophecy. Your own mouth also said, Nigeria is a failed state, as you said it. How can you prosper in a place you have prophesied doom over? So he says, when men are saying there's a casting down, don't join them. Don't try it. You will say. Now, That doesn't mean that you are experiencing it already. You are not experiencing it. He said, but start talking. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of... It starts from your mouth. You have not started doing it yet. Start talking it first. Shall not depart out of your mouth first. He says, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night to observe, to do. Guys, you will not even know how to do, but start talking first. You are not meditating on it yet. Start talking first. There is an intimate relationship between what catches your attention to what you are meditating on and then to the utterances that leave your lips. This is how terrible distraction is. Distraction can shape your life. Would you give me 10 extra minutes? Let me run through the other four. Again and again, I cry. Fix my gaze on you. Number two is lethargy. Another word for it is tiredness. There is an ungodly tiredness that has settled upon many of us. We didn't know when it came that it's an attack, and you were innocent. So you just felt you are just feeling weak. You are just feeling tired. That is actually an affront in the spirit. It is to make sure you don't have the strength to keep pace with the movement of God, so that when the realm takes a step, you cannot keep pace. You are tired. You are always weak. Always tired. I already told you how to overcome distraction. You must deliberately build routines into your life. Apart from routine, build to-do lists. It means there must be something like a timetable. You are not a student in a class, quite all right, but you are a student of life. And so build a timetable that makes you maximize every day. There is something you do every day. For example, there must be a time you read. There must be a time you pray. Build a routine into your daily shape. Let routines arrest it. If you have routines, you have cheated life. It means whether you are feeling happy or not, you must read, you must pray. You must open yourself up to these things. If you are feeling excited, you will read extra. But the day you are feeling discouraged, your routine. Were they not flogging us to go to school those years? Did we like the school? It is a routine we must keep. This is why, do you realize that the things that will bless you the most, you will not feel like doing them most of the time? So, if you cannot live your life based on feeling. If it's by feeling, you will waste. You started earlier. Number two, lethargy. You see this tiredness I speak about? It's a tiredness that only comes when you want to do things that resonate with destiny. If you are gisting today, you will be full of life. You are watching TV, full of life. But the moment anything that resonates with your ordination is brought to the table, brother, you are under attack. And the demons that are behind this program, they are hoping you will not know that this is the scheme around your life. Suddenly, strength will just leave you. You open the Bible and your eyes start closing. You are not okay, believe me. The moment you close the Bible, the eye open. Reverse motion all the time. If Bible, open your eye, close. If your eye... You are under attack. And there are demonic forces that are actually powering this reality. You should know by now that you are not alone. Some of you, when you leave this place, there are places in your house where the Holy Ghost will lead you to go and observe intense priesthood. There are regions of your house that host energy for temptation more than other regions. There are rooms, there are chambers where disobedience prospers. If you understand how demonic energy works, you will now know that you cannot do anything by yourself. You are like a puppet. Somebody is pulling the string from background. They want you to think you are the one that just got up by yourself and decided to violate the law of God. It's an appetite that was quickened. lethargy. Lethargy. See, you don't know how weak we are. You don't know how weak we are. If you know that you can sense these operations in your life, your antidote is fasting. They that wait upon the Lord. It is that's where strength is renewed. When you find out that you are just always tired, always weak, the moment you just sit down in church, if people are dancing, you are dancing, they just say, let us open our Bible. Your eyes start closing. God. There is something there. There is a demon that uses your eye like a window blind. He locks it anytime. Anything of destiny want to happen, he will say, I'm not interested. Suddenly, you now start feeling like sleeping. Before you know it, you'll be drowsy for 3 hours. The moment they say, in Jesus' name, amen, your sleep clear. Does that make sense? Attack. As I'm talking now, I just sighted a brother. His eye is doing like this. He can't help it. When we are talking about spiritual warfare, whether you are pretending in the flesh, they will still hold you and say, come. Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. Matthew 13, 25. Don't worry, I will run through it now. Everybody, let's read together. 1, 2, go. The sleep the Bible made reference to here is not snoozing, it's not going to bed. It is a momentary period of spiritual inactivity. That is what they call sleep, and that is what lethargy does. It makes you tired, drowsy. You are not active in the spirit. You are just there. That's where people die in your family. That brief period where you were not operating your altar. That brief period where you were not soaring the airways as a watchman. That's where the alien army moved quickly, and you were drowsy for just small days. That 2 days that you were not active in your altar, they sneak many things. That's where infirmities that keep people bound, that's where they are planted, because the man that was kept over the wall, he slept while men slept. You see, this one, they bring it for people who keep watches. Lethargy is to make you drowsy. Like smugglers. You are a custom officer, but they will wait until, as your eye closes, they will smuggle something into the territory. You will start seeing the manifestation of contraband things in the family. It's because man slept. Somebody will raise a prayer quickly. Give me strength. Spare me to wait upon you. Because they that wait upon the Lord, he says they will renew. They will renew. I know you have lost strength, but strength can be renewed. They will renew their strength, and then they will mount up. They will begin to soar again. How did Satan prosper over the family? How did iniquity find expression? Because men slept. Hallelujah. I need you to follow me in these things we're exploring. Number 3, inconsistency. The things I'm sharing with you, they are ancient warfare that many generations have fallen victims to. Many valiant died in battles like this. Sometimes in one person's life, you find 3 of these things. 3. How can you survive? Only you are distracted. Only you, there's lethargy on you. Only you, inconsistency. Apart from the distraction that there are different things catching your attention, you cannot gather yourself into any moment. Then you are weak and tired all the time. So you are distracted and tired at the same time. A young man you that is supposed to be in your prime. You that your value now is your strength. Anytime they come out, you're always yawning. You talk two sentences. So, what were you saying again? You have been logged out of destiny. What you are doing now, you are existing. You are not alive anymore. You are just living. He's just like Adam. He died, but he was still breathing for 930 years. But he was dead already. He was dead. Inconsistency is a terrible attack for your life. Spirits, God, including Satan, they are all attracted to consistency. And your destiny will require consistency to open up. Nothing worthwhile can be done haphazardly and bring you the dividend. Nothing. In Proverbs it says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Go and watch that lower creature. Go and see how consistent he is in his labor. Go to the ant. Thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. The ant will wake up in the morning. Before you wake up. They have gone out in their cliques. Anywhere they sense any small food, they will send alarm. If they cannot carry it, they will send for support from the colony. They will dispatch more workers. There are things ants carry. If you see the thing moving, you will not even know that there is something under. Have you seen a cockroach moving before? It's ants that they are doing business. Meanwhile, this thing they are carrying, they are not eating it now. They are storing it for the rainy day. This is an ant. He knows that labor is required every day. I must put in something if my bank could be fat. You read today as a student. The next time you are opening that material is after 1 month. You are go to the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Then you wait. Exam is 1 week. You now gather big materials. That's why you do expo. How can you know all those things at once? The secret is consistency. And inconsistency, a big task will be broken into small, small bits that you did without stress because you did it in bits. I woke up every day. Maybe I read 2 chapters. I read 2 chapters. You don't read at all. One day you wake up from encounter and you read 3 books. I am more fresh than you. Because after you read 3 books in one day, you will not read again till after 3 months. Me, every day, I am on the word. I am laboring. The spirit of that word, it is actually engaging my soul. Before you know it, the things that I will be bringing into time, they are product of my navigations. But the man who is not consistent. Have you seen the power of consistency before? I saw a video of a drop of water falling on a rock. After some years, water that is just a drop has dug a hole inside the rock. That rock that it was hitting, like a joke like this, because of consistency. And I told you about distraction. If your eyes be single, you are pursuing something and then you gather yourself into it, you will realize that there is nothing you cannot achieve. Your biggest challenge is that you are distracted. You pray today because you saw a nightmare. The prayer was brutal. Even your neighbors knew that something would happen. Guess what? The next time you pray again is after 1 month. You are not consistent. You are not. You can't shift anything. That spirits are not attracted to any altar that does not have consistent worship. You said that you know exactly what God will have you do in 2025. And that God says you should learn a skill because he will use it to open doors. Now we agree that you have known what to do. You went straight to the fashion house. You said that God said you should go and learn fashion. You went 1 week, 2 weeks. This is somebody's story. I don't like the way my boss, they talk to me. But then you are not consistent. You are a joker. At the end of your life, you will realize that you were a part of many things, but you never finished anything. You never perfected anything. But there were many things that could have blessed you, but you never focused and finished anyone. I met a brother recently. I gave him money to do something. He was not even accountable enough to tell me that thing that I told you I want to do, I will not do it again. I just realized I've not seen him for a while. So I said, Hoffa, how are you doing? What is the progress on this thing? He said, sir, I was even meaning to tell you. I don't like the thing again. I said, somebody started 100 level in this university. Why is he 100 level? He now bought jam again. I apply another university. When he got there again, the course he started doing, he said he didn't like it again. He bought another jam. He's supposed to be in 300 level now. But he's still a jambito. Because inconsistency will make sure that you never grow. Never. You will be recycling the same ancient, mediocre results. You are not consistent. Seest thou a man? Diligent. If you see the beauty of diligence, at first they'll be mocking you. At first they'll say, this is your thing, you are overdoing it. It's called diligence. After a while, you become an authority in that matter. Because you have engaged too much. Where people must consult you if it's that matter. Because you gave yourself wholly to it. Let's pray for 1 minute. Every operation in my life, every operation making me inconsistent about the things that can appear, the things that can cause for my manifestation, Holy Ghost, by your divine mercy, break the hold of inconsistency over my life. Everything that makes me inconsistent, I will go into business. Now you enter business. Because you had one or two challenges, you close it down and say, you are waiting for the next instruction from God. God has spoken, for God's sake. You are just not consistent. You are not consistent. It is inconsistency. You go against the tide. You go against the wind. You hit a roadblock and you go again. Because you know. There are people that miss the will of God for them because they are not consistent. I'm telling you this thing as a brother that loves you genuinely from my heart. The arrogance in our generation, it causes that those who are under attack don't even know that they are victims. They move around arrogantly like they are free. Meanwhile, they are prisoners. You can see the registry of captivity upon their life. But they carry themselves like they are in charge of their day. Meanwhile, they are helplessly under the impulse of demons. You don't know how bounded you are. Somebody, because of inconsistency, God told you that this is your wife. This is your wife. You now went and say hello. The lady looked at you and didn't even respond. And in your mind, me? Do you know that I'm an apostle? Do you know how many people text me every evening that I don't reply? I gave you attention. See, let me share something with you. Do you realize that the wife, the only wife that Jacob wanted to marry, was Rachel? Do you know why we now raise that white veil up before? It's because of what happened to our brother. In the last minute, they exchanged the arrangement, and he did not know. Meanwhile, I have my doubts that he does not know totally, because I don't think that certain levels of fraternity can be engaged without you knowing that this is not the person. Let's say it's a moment of weakness. Maybe he had crossed the line and decided to deal more consequence. That's why we don't marry in the night. Yeah, they brought her inside darkness and covered her with a veil. Guess what? When he discovered in the morning, he agreed. But he said, let me start serving again, afresh, for this person that I served for. The reason for my service was this person. But since I've been deceived, let me start a fresh service. I'm not talking about marriage alone. I'm talking about going for what you truly desire. Some of you are easily distracted. You went to the market, you wanted to buy a t-shirt. Somebody with shoe came and showed you like this. Before you know it, you got home with shoe. And the real thing that took you to market is t-shirt. Has it happened to you before? When you now reach home, you are now looking at yourself, but what happened like this? Sometimes it's two evil guys that will do you that thing. Listen, don't laugh. Don't laugh at my brother. Salutations to the evil brethren. As you are just coming like this, one will just carry the shoe and put near your leg. Before you know it, they say, please. Before you know, as you put it in your leg, they say, unna, see fitting. Just now, before you know, your mind will just say, oh boy, I don't think I have seen this kind of shoe in my leg before. Meanwhile, all these things are happening under blue light. Then you reach home and you realize that the reason why you started this voyage in the first place, it was not achieved totally. Somehow, your mission changed. See, be doggedly committed to anything you have found to do. It says, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. Go all out. I don't like the way the man talked to me. That was why I walked out of the office. You walked out? You walked out? Who lost? Is it not you? How can you be needing something and you are still proud? Some of us, they insulted us. They insulted us, insulted us, insulted us at different stages of school until we graduated. He will be in class like this. The lecturer will come in. He will greet him. Sometimes he will hiss. You are not there to be his friend. He will mark your script in a way that you know that it does not reflect what you have truly written. He will go. He will send you away in arrogance. You will go and read again for the exam, so that in the exam you make up for whatever injustice that has happened here. This is what consistency is. It makes you unstoppable. They close one door, you go for the next. They say no vacancy, you come back again and knock. If you are consistent enough, even your adversary will fail. There is a way, the parable Jesus gave of the widow and the judge, unjust judge. Oh, really? Yeah. That this judge does not fear God and he has no regard for man. And a widow was coming always to come and get justice from him. And he was always ignoring her petition. But because of how consistent she continues to come. One day, this judge that has no regard for God. So, Jesus had to explain that it's not because of God. He's not a good person. It's just that they have wearied him too much. He needs peace. And for the sake of peace, he said, let me clear this matter so that I can rest. You are not serious enough, that's why. Go for what you want. Find a way to itemize the price you must pay. And pay it. Some of you are envisioning yourself as a speaker, that you are going to be, you know, bringing the counsel of God and wisdom to nations. The Holy Ghost is telling you the courses you must take now, the books you must read now, but you cannot. Not consistent. Number 5. Very quick. All right. Number 4. Gluttony. If you like, laugh. Gluttony. For those of you who don't know what gluttony means, it's untamed appetite for food. Gluttony is irresponsibility, to be honest. I don't know anything that quenches fire, because fire can be quenched in a way that it is hard to light it back. But gluttony is the fastest way to quench fire. As you eat, and you hit a threshold, because some people eat until the food reaches. You eat. Then you wanted to get up. You now realize that you could not stand well. Then you read Psalm 91 inside water and drank again. They ask you, you say, the food is sweet. You see, something about gluttony is that every time your flesh is empowered beyond measure, it makes your spirit weak. It weakens the authority of your spirit. A spiritual man only eats for strength, not for satisfaction. Strength. Me and breakfast, I don't remember when last. And it's not fasting. On a normal day, that you just got up like this, by 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m., you're already turning about. What is wrong? How can you be sharp for that day? Some people on their bed, they are meditating on how to mix the two that remain and the soup and boil them together. And there's a name they call it. Dumame. By 8 a.m., you are already logged out of spiritual consciousness. Heavy like a log of wood. Dull. And if you be... One thing about gluttony is that it goes with drowsiness. It goes with lethargy. The moment you eat, you engage that your gluttonous appetite, you become sleepy. You just see the person doing like this. Gosh. I don't just know how my body they do me. How would you know? How would you know? You are a glutton. The Bible says, woe to the land whose princes eat in the morning. It means there is a level of sharpness you need to carry to enter your to attack the day. You need to be alert spiritually. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. But you see, listen. Don't think when we talk about gluttony, we're talking about people who are overweight. There are many slim, especially ladies. Jesus Christ. Do you know Mama Lucky? Do you know what they call delicious? Listen. This is a true story. Some years ago, I went to pick an order from Mama Lucky. If you don't know it, may God give you understanding. When I was picking my order, I sighted a slim girl. She was sitting down by the edge of the place. So I saw that they brought her meal in a plate and kept in front of her while they were going to package my own. I was looking at her. She, you know that wrap of pounded yam? One wrap. She swallowed it 3 times. That is three badge, like 1, 2, 3. The full pounded yam is missing. So, listen now. I now ask myself, if this person can do this to this pond, in a matter of seconds, now. And when you are looking, very slim girl. So I now knew that it has nothing to do with your physique. There are gluttons that look slim. You will not know until a bag of rice is missing. You will not even know. What Satan does using gluttony as a spiritual attack is that it causes you to yearn for food all the time. And once you eat, you become dull in the spirit. There are moments of your day that you are supposed to be very alert, sensitive, pick signals. But what Satan does quickly, he just choke you with heba. Then your eyes start turning. When the effect clear, you now say the Lord was in this place. And I knew not. A glutton will never meet any spiritual encounter. He will never. In all the days where encounters will come, he will eat something quickly. 2 minutes to the encounter, his stomach will be doing like he will now eat. Then they delete him from the encounter. You are too heavy. You are too heavy to take flight. Your flesh is too bogus. If you are here and you have ever hated me because I announced fasting, you are a glutton. It's a sign. It's a sign that even though this matter was for your own benefit, there was something about your nature that resented the fact that I announced fasting. It was because of certain of them that I opened up December 25th in our last fasting experience. I saw the anger. They say even on Christmas Day, person would be waiting with them. I said, go and eat. Last, but not the least. For gluttony, Isaiah chapter 40, from verse 29, very quickly. Isaiah 40, 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Quickly, let's continue. 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Quickly, just do it quickly, please. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It means a glutton will perpetually be weak. He will live in weakness all his life. Imagine you are in a season of spiritual warfare. But before the collision started, you already ate. What's the name of that tool that they mix again? Dumame. As you ate it, the moment you are taking the last dose and you are drinking that water and you are doing then you now receive a report that your father just collapsed at the working place. You now go with that your heaviness in the flesh and say, then after 5 minutes you see him sleeping. Because his flesh is weak. If a glutton enters the altar of prayer, come and look for him after 5 minutes. He's snoring. Have you seen that joke online? Where somebody is shouting in prayer, I come in alignment with the angel of God. After 5 minutes, they saw him sleep. The demons were now laughing. Look at this one. Weakness. Last but not the least, sin. Did you realize that I kept sin as the last? Because in terms of urgency, you will easily be able to correct your ways when you are in sin. You will know that you are committing something that violates the law of God. But all of these other things I've listed, it can be in your life, and you will still think that you are actually walking in destiny, but they have manipulated you. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach, is a shame to any people. Can we bow our heads? From distractions to liturgy to inconsistency to gluttony to sin, Lord, help me. Deliver me from all affront against my soul. Rid me of every attack, everything lodged to make sure that I don't emerge in my true capacity. Rid my soul of the bondage of princes.
I'm gonna make it.
time. Our time is fast spent. I sincerely apologize for keeping us this late. If you are outside, please come inside quickly. Quickly, come inside. Just lay your hands on yourself and begin to prophesy. Begin to declare. Begin to release the utterances of God. Begin to proclaim His word over your life. Begin to declare His promises over your destiny. I would pray until something happens. Happens to me. Happens to me. I will pray until something happens. Happens to me. Happens to me. I would wait until something happens. Happens to me. Happens to me. I would wait until something happens. Happens to me. Happens to me. I would. Happens to me. Happens to me. I will pray until something happens.
Happens to me.
Happens to me.
Happens to me.
I will pray.
Happens to me.
Happens to me.
Happens to me.
Happens to me.
Yeah, yeah. I will pray.
I will pray until something happens.
I will pray.
Happens to me. Happens to me. I behold until something happens. Happens to me. Happens to me. We behold until something happens. Happens to me.
Happens to me.
I behold.
I behold until something happens. Happens to me. Happens to me.
I behold.
I behold until something happens. Happens to me. Happens to me.
I would pray.
I would pray until something happens. Happens to me. Happens to me.
I would wait.
I would wait until something happens.
I behold.
I behold until something happens. Happens to me. Happens to me.
I behold.
I behold until something happens. Happens to me. Happens to me.
We would wait.
I would wait until something happens. Happens to me. Happens to me.
We would wait.
I would wait until something happens. Happens to me.
Listen, the man Zechariah, he had continued to ask the Lord for the fruit of the womb all the days of his youth. Came to pass that the prayer was not answered, but he was never missing on the altar. A day came when he was no longer praying the prayer, but he was still present at his duty post. And on that day, an angel was waiting for him with that same thing he has been asking for, but the location
the venue for that appointment was at the altar. So if he had abandoned the altar, this visitation would have eluded him. And the angel came and said, your prayer has been heard. That was the utterance of the... Meanwhile, he's not praying again. Wait until something happens. Don't allow anybody to talk you out of this process. It may not appear to look like it yet, but every single exercise in the spirit is creating a resonance. You will soon, a day will come, people will say suddenly, but it was not sudden. There were years of labor. We were laboring. This song has ignited something upon my spirit. I think I found the song for my season. Happens to me, happens to me. I will wait until something happens. Happens to me, happens to me. I behold until something happens. Happens to me, happens to me. I will pray until something happens.
Happens to me, happens to me.
Hallelujah. May the hand of the Lord be strong upon each and every one of you. Everything that God has not planted, finding expression in your body, finding expression in your life, causing havoc in your families, they are revoked and cancelled now in the name of Jesus. We cancel evil verdicts. We cancel evil appointments. Everything that will make you see tragedy is cancelled now. Every friendship, every visitation, every company that will expose you to danger, we cancel such fraternity now. Now in the name of Jesus, we declare the favor of God. It rests upon you and the works of your hands. Your going out is prospered. Your coming in is prospered. Let the earth yield you its strength. And may your hand gather the wealth of the nations. In the name of Jesus. May the diseases of the Egyptian be far from your dwelling place. May the Lord prosper you in all you do. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please tell the persons by your side, congratulations. Welcome to the month of testimonies. Listen, we give our offerings very quickly. Just package your offerings and your tithe. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercies upon our life. We've brought a token as a gesture of worship and honor. Let it be acceptable in your sight. And open the windows of heaven over your people. Pour upon them showers of blessings. And cause for it to run into the overflows for them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody here facing the doors of expectation at the verge of breakthroughs, Father, cause there to be an unusual favor for them. Let their expectations come to pass. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You can cast your offerings and your tithes. God bless you. We take a few announcements even as we continue with the offerings. By the grace of God, I will be at the Tehillah Breakthrough Church on the 6th of March, which happens to be Thursday. Thursday this week, I will be at Tehillah Breakthrough Church on the 6th. Please make our time to share fellowship with us. It promises to be such a Kairos time in the presence of God. Thereafter, on the Saturday 8th and 9th, being Sunday morning, I will be at Christ Abundant Life Ministry at their headquarters at 58 Bahago Road, Sabo Express. Please, Sabo Express way rather. So make our time to be there. It will be a time of an unusual engagement with the fire of God, and also it will be a destiny encounter. By the grace of God, on the 12th and 13th of March, I will be at Owerri for the Owerri Fresh Fire Conference. Promises to be a time
of spiritual coalitions. The theme is End Time Church, the militant church. Please make our time to be there. Make reference to the flyer for more details. Also, we have our Goningora Apostolic Convergence coming up on the 21st and 22nd of March, being Friday and Saturday. 21st and 22nd of March, the Goningora Apostolic Convergence is holding. 21st and 22nd of March. The venue is Events at House 32, you know, by Goningora Road, Federal Housing. Make our time to be there, and God will be doing us well in the name of Jesus Christ. Have you been blessed this evening? Can we take a minute to ask the Holy Ghost to set us apart from everything that seeks to distract, that seeks to disengage us from His will and from His purposes per time. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We have come to the end of our convergence today. Please make our time, love one another, and be blessed. Your week is blessed.